So, good morning. As Troy told you, this is VBS Sunday. So they decided to let the strange, weird uncle out of the basement to come preach. First service, they called me Uncle Fester. I didn't think that was very nice, but it is what it is. This week, we are going to be talking about Daniel all week long. It's going to be a really cool week of VBS, so we thought we'd start things off this Sunday by just kind of giving a glance over, a flyover of what we're going to be talking about at VBS. So before we really get into it, let's take a minute to pray for this morning. Dear God, we thank you for being the God that you are, to being the one true God, God who is his ruler over all creation. We just thank you for that, Lord. We pray that you be with this time right now, that you speak to us right now, Lord, like you don't speak all the time. Maybe I should change that we listen to you right now, Lord, that we hear what it is that you have to say. So God, we just, we thank you, we praise you for being the God that you are. And it's in your son's amazing name that we pray. Amen. This week, we're going to have the chance to be talking about Daniel. And some of the kids in Children's Church make fun of me because when we talk about stories from the Old Testament, it seems like every week I'm saying, this is one of my favorite stories from the Bible. And they make fun of me because it's like every week. Well, guess what? This is one of my favorite stories from the Bible. We get the chance to talk about Daniel and his friends and the courage that they have in captivity. Now, before we really jump into it, there's two things we need to define here. The first one is captivity. Captivity means to be held against your will someplace that you don't want to be. To be held against your will someplace you don't want to be. School is a wonderful example of captivity. Most people don't want to be there, including the teachers. Work is an example of captivity. Sometimes we just don't want to be there. A couple of years ago, my wife held me captive for about 2.5 hours one night. She made me watch The Notebook. That is definitely a description of captivity. So captivity is being held someplace against your will. See, Daniel and his friends, they were Jews. They grew up in Israel. The problem was that many of the people in Israel decided to turn their backs on God. They decided to turn their backs on serving the one true God. And God allowed the Babylonians to come in and take them over and to take them into captivity and bring them to Babylon. Now, you've probably clued in to the second thing that we're going to talk about. I've mentioned it a couple times. It's the one true God. The Babylonians had lots of gods. They had gods for childbirth. They had gods for the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, growing crops. They had a god for everything. Well, these Israelites come in and they believed in the one true God. See, we don't have a god for this and that and this other thing and this over here. We serve one true God, who was ruler over all of creation. We don't have to stop and think, well, this is going on in my life, so I need to pray to this God, or to this God, or to this God, or to this God. We get to stop every day and pray to the one true God who is ruler over everything. And that's what these Israelites get the opportunity to come into Babylon and show, when they show their courage while in captivity. So we're going to start Monday. These kids are going to come in and we're going to talk about the fact that when things change, God is with you. When things change, God is with you. Can you imagine being one of these teenagers? These are teenagers that have been kidnapped and forced into a different land. And they were being brought to Babylon, not just because they wanted some captives. They were being brought to Babylon because they were going to learn what it was to be a Babylonian, and they were going to become advisors to the king. So Daniel and his friends, they get brought in, their names get changed, they learn new foods, new religion, new language, new laws, new customs, new geography. They have to learn all of this. Their life is in change. I know what it feels like to be in change. In the past year, I have moved 3 times. I have boxes of stuff that I cannot remember what's in those boxes. I have stuff that I know I have, but I don't know where it is. I was in here yesterday trying to do these walls, and I was like, I need a staple gun. I know I have a staple gun. I know what it looks like. In the past month, I have seen it, but I don't remember where. My life is in constant change. But God is with you through the change. It doesn't matter what the change is, God is there with you. God tells us in Hebrews chapter 13, he says, don't love money, be satisfied for what you have, for God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. I know what it's like to go through change, and when we go through that, we feel like sometimes God is not there with us in that change. But God says, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. Sometimes when it changes, we think, oh, we've lost God because we can't find him. He hasn't left us. He hasn't abandoned us. He might be hard to see, but he's there with us the entire time. See, Daniel and his friends had to learn this lesson as their lives are in constant change, that God is with them. All of us are going through change right now. I got to witness change yesterday. I sat at graduation yesterday, and I watched the moment that kids went from being kids to adults. I got to witness the moment they went from being high school students to the real world. You know, we don't think about that very much. You think, when you go to a graduation, you see, hey, you are now alumni, now and forevermore. You may change your tassels. And we think, okay, they take the tassel from one end of the cap to the other. Do you realize the change? And those of you who are parents of graduates in here, I'm sorry if I'm bringing up some sore things, because I saw lots of tears yesterday. Do you realize just that act of moving that tassel from one side to the other means that your life has just gone through some massive changes? You're no longer living in your parents' homes. Some of you might still be, but you're transitioning out of that. School is no longer going to be every day from 7:30 to 2:30. Now you have classes that you can skip. But when you skip, then you fail and have to take over again and pay for over again. Life has changed. It doesn't matter what that change is. God is with you. I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. We fast forward a little while, and it's about 3 years later. Daniel and his friends have gone through some serious intensive training. And they get out of this training, and they go from the king just wanted some advisors to he finds the best advisors. And Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He's like, you guys are just the absolute top here. And he makes them some of his best advisors. Well, then one night the king has a dream. And I don't know if you're familiar with King Nebuchadnezzar. He was legitimately crazy. Like, legit crazy. We think our politicians today have some issues. They don't hold a candle to King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar has this dream, and he wakes up in the morning, and the dream has kind of got him freaked out. And so he brings his advisors in, and he says, I want you to tell me my dream and interpret it for me. And his advisors look at him, and they're like, King, we can't do that. No human alive can do that. We cannot tell you your dream and then interpret it. Now, if you tell us your dream, we'll interpret it for you. He says, no, I want you to prove that you're actually what you say you are. And to do that, I want you to tell me my dream and interpret it. And if you don't do it, I'll kill you and your family. Sound good? At this point, I think one of his advisors was looking around and was like, this guy's a few fries short of a happy meal if you catch my drift. Yeah, happy meal. That had to be Jim. See, they're looking around thinking, this guy is crazy, because he is. And they're thinking, we can't do this. They say, King, what you're asking is impossible. Only the gods know your dream, and they're not talking to us right now. So the king said, fine, you're all going to die. And he sends one of his guards to go get Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, bring them to the killing party, because they're advisors and they need to come be a part of this. Now the guard shows up and tells Daniel what's going on. And Daniel instantly realizes here, I need help. But Daniel knew that when you need help, God is with you. So Daniel says to the guard, he says, hey, give me a minute to go pray, and then let me come back with an answer. Now this is how special this is. The guard knew Daniel and his friends. He knew of the one true God because for the past 3 years, he has seen God working in these guys. So he says, all right, fine. Because I know who you are and I know the God you serve, I'm going to give you a minute to go pray. So Daniel goes and says, God, I need some help here. He prays, God, can you please deliver me from this situation? And God says, you know what? I'm the one that gave the king the dream in the first place, so this is what the king's dream was, and this is how you interpret it to the king. So Daniel gets to go save everybody's lives, because Daniel knew that when you need help, God is with you. God's word says in Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. See, when Daniel was in that place where he needed help, I'm about to die, God. I really need some help. He goes straight to the one true God. You remember what the advisors said? They said, only the gods can tell you the dream, can tell us the dream, and they're not talking to us. And Daniel says that they don't exist, only the one true God. And he goes to the one true God. And God says, I'm here. You know what a refuge is? A refuge is a safe place you go to when you're in trouble. I think of a castle. I love castles. Maybe it's the social studies teacher in me. But castles are just these awesome stone structures that were built for when the enemies came, y'all grabbed your stuff and you went and hid in the castle. It was your refuge. Then the king and his troops would go out, get rid of them, get rid of the enemy, and then you could go back out about your lives. Castles were a refuge, a place you could go to for safety and protection. So God says, hey, I'm your castle. I'm your refuge. I'm where you come to when things get tough. I don't know what's going on in your lives right now. I can guarantee you, at some point in your life, everybody in here is going to need help. People will fail you. God won't. God says, I am your help. I am your refuge. Come to me. That's exactly what Daniel and his friends do. And the king, everybody gets to see this, and it's pretty cool. I mean, can you imagine, had a dream, and I tell you, hey, tell me what my dream was and what it means. Did he honestly think that the people were going to be able to do this? And then this guy comes up and says, hey, this was your dream, and this is what it means. I would be like, I'd be a little nervous at this point. But the king was crazy. So, let me get a fast forward. And this is one of my favorite stories in the whole Bible. You fast forward several years, and we have no idea where Daniel is, but he's not a part of this story. He was probably someplace else doing the king's business. We don't know. So, the king decides, I'm going to build this 90-foot tall gold statue. I mean, that's huge. 90 feet tall, made of gold. I'm going to build the statue. And then I'm going to get all my musicians together. And he tells everybody, when you hear the music, you got to come out and you got to worship my big, huge gold statue. So then music plays and everybody comes out and bows down. And they start worshiping this. Now, I wonder what that one person was that you ever see like a middle schooler pray? Like you say, okay, it's time to pray. And everybody's like, dear Jesus, checking around to make sure everybody's praying. Hey, so-and-so doesn't have their eyes shut. Nobody's, you know, they're always doing that I'm praying, but I'm checking you out thing. Can you imagine who that person was? That the music starts to play and everybody sits down and they're worshiping the 90-foot statue and somebody looks up and goes, hey, those three guys over there, they're standing up. They're not worshiping. And they go to the king and they say, King, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego aren't worshiping the golden statue. And the king is a little crazy. He brings them up and he says, listen, guys, I told you, when you hear the music, you're going to bow down to my statue and pray to it. They said, I'm sorry, king, we can't do that. See, we serve the one true God. And the king says, all right, I'm going to give you one more shot at this. But you see, I got this furnace over here for making bricks, and I'm going to get it as hot as I possibly can, and I'm going to throw you into it. So you either bow down to the statue or you get burned alive. Now, last week, Kevin talked to us about death and about, you know, being afraid of death. We don't have to be afraid of death. I can tell you, I'm not afraid to die. I know where I'm going. I'm afraid of the process of dying. I'm not afraid of not being here anymore because I know where I'm going to end up. But sometimes the getting there can be quite painful. I can't really imagine anything more painful than being thrown into a fiery furnace. So these guys are standing there and they're like, okay, we either bow down to the statue or we get thrown into the fire. This is what they say because they remember that when you're afraid, God is with you. They remember this. They say to the king, King, we are not going to bow down to your golden statue. We firmly believe that the God that we serve can save us. And even if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow down to your statue. When you're afraid, God is with you. He gives you the courage to say things like that, to say, hey, I'm not going to bow down to that. I believe that my God can and will save me. And even if he doesn't, I'm still not going to do it. That takes some courage. That these guys firmly believe what God says in Isaiah. He says, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. I know what it's like to be in those situations and say, you know what, I don't care, I'm not going to do this, I'm going to do what God wants me to do because God can deliver me from this situation or circumstance. And we go into it fully expecting God is going to deliver me from this situation or circumstance. Sometimes God does not deliver us from this situation or circumstance. And we sit there and think, but God, I did what you told me to do. You're supposed to deliver me from this. Because you said, I will deliver you with my victorious right hand. Sometimes our deliverance does not come when we want it. Sometimes you got to wait. That stinks. I've heard it said this way, that if you take all of human history and you put it out as a line segment, because there's a definite ending and then it goes on for the rest of ever. That's not a line segment, whatever it is. Ray, I'm not a geometry person. I ain't used math since I graduated. It just goes on forever. It starts and then goes on forever. We got that. And we have this human history that goes on forever. And if you take a parenthesis and put it around there, you got Genesis chapter 2, all the way till Revelation chapter 21. This is human history where we get to run things and do things the way we want. And it doesn't work out very well because we're really not good at running this thing. That sometimes our deliverance, our victorious right hand, comes on the other side of the parentheses out here in Revelation chapter 21, where God restores heaven and earth to the way it's supposed to be. Sometimes our deliverance is out here, and it's not easy to wait for. You know, if I tell you I'll give you a marshmallow now or two marshmallows in 20 minutes, I'm one of those people that are like, give me the marshmallow now because I'm hungry, I don't want to wait. See, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they say, we don't care. Throw us in, God will save us, and even if he doesn't, we're not going to do this. So the king takes them, throws them in the furnace, gets the furnace so hot it kills the guards that are going to throw them in. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego land in the fiery furnace. And the king looks in and he says, hey, didn't we throw three guys in the fiery furnace? Because I see four. And one of them is, to quote VeggieTales, really shiny. See, we don't know who this fourth person was. The Bible actually says he's walking around like a son of God. We don't know if it was an angel. I firmly believe that the fourth person in the fiery furnace was Jesus, God in the flesh. Can you imagine standing there saying to the king, I don't care, I'm not going to do it because God can deliver me. And then you get thrown into the fiery furnace and the first face you get to see is God in the flesh there with you, walking in the midst of whatever it is. Because when you are afraid, God is literally right there with you. That's amazing to me. And even if Jesus doesn't show up there, even if they get thrown into the fiery furnace and burned to a crisp and walk up into heaven, who's the first person they're going to get to see? God in the flesh there with them saying, hey, well done, my good and faithful servant. That was amazing what you just did. Because they knew that when you're afraid, God is there with you. Now we're going to fast forward about 50 years. Daniel has now served at least three kings. And the Persians have come in and taken over Babylon. And the Persian king, he kind of wants people to start thinking of themselves as Persians and not Babylonians. And Daniel is like 70 years old, 70 or 80 years old. He wants to retire. You ever get to that point where you want to retire? I'm 39 and I want to retire. So he wants to retire, but no one will let him because he's too good at what he does. And so the people all say to him, the kings all say, no, you're still here. You're our number one guy. You're staying put. And so he stays. He can't do anything. The king tells him he's going to do it. And he is such an upright guy that he won't let the people take bribes. He says, no, you're going to do your job the way it's supposed to be done. And the people don't like this because they want bribes. This is how they make money. So he said, all right, let us take bribes. No, you can't do it. So they decide they're going to kill Daniel. But how do you kill the guy the king loves? How do you kill a guy that's known for being for worshiping the one true God, a guy that's known for being upright in everything he does? How do you kill him? Well, this is how you kill him. You use his strengths against him. You know, this guy's upright and he's going to do the right thing. So let's put him in a situation where doing the right thing is the wrong thing. So they come to the king and they say, King, we want the people to start thinking of themselves as Persians and not Babylonians. So for the next 30 days, we want them to pray to only you. See, it takes about 21 days to form a habit. 30 days, it's more than 21, so they were smart. They said, when things go on in life, we don't want them praying to all these other Babylonian gods. We want them to pray only to you, so they'll start to think of themselves as Persians and not Babylonians. Now, can you imagine Daniel when he reads this law? 70s or 80s, you've lived your entire life worshiping and serving God in captivity. And then your worship and serving of God in captivity has now been made illegal. I can imagine that Daniel probably felt a little bit lonely here. But he remembered that when you're lonely, God is with you. When you're lonely, God is with you. It's a couple thousand years before Jesus says this, but he firmly believes what Jesus says. In Matthew, he says, I will be with you even to the end of the age. What you're doing is what I want you to be doing, but now people want to kill you for doing what I'm telling you to do. It's a very lonely feeling. It's like, God, I've been serving you for 80 years, and now they want to kill me for doing what you want me to do. I'm lonely here. I'm the only one here serving the one true God. God, I'm lonely. But this is what's awesome about Daniel, is what does he do? He gets this law, says, hey, it's illegal to pray to anybody but the king. What's the first thing he does? He goes home, up to his room, like he always does, and prays to the one true God, and says, all right, fine, I'm still going to do what I'm going to do. Because he knew when you're lonely, God is with you. Now, the people catch him, because they knew he was going to do it, and they catch him and they bring him to the king and they're like, hey king, we caught Daniel praying to somebody besides you. And at this point, the king realizes his mistake. He realizes that he's been trapped because the king has heard all of these stories about Daniel and seen Daniel work in so many ways. And the king says, hey, this guy knows what he's doing. And he's starting to believe in the one true God and he's seeing all this. And he says, this is not good. I have to kill you, Daniel, and I don't want to. because even I'm not above the law that I made. So I'm going to have to throw you in the fiery furnace. And this is what the king says, and I love this. You have a pagan king saying, maybe the one true God that you serve will save you. Daniel has lived his life in a way that the people are like, hey, maybe he'll still save you. They're believing in the God that Daniel serves. So he takes Daniel and has him thrown into the lion's den. And he can't sleep, he can't eat, he can't do anything that night because he's worried about Daniel. First thing in the morning, he runs down. Can you imagine the king running down to check on his servant? He runs down to the lion's den and he gets there and he says, Daniel, did the God that you serve save you? And that pause, that waiting to hear Daniel's voice, that did God really save him? That anticipation of the miracle. Daniel, did the God that you serve save you? Yes, O king, he did. The king learned a lesson that day. The king learned that when you're thankful, God is with you. See, the king was so thankful that Daniel had been saved. He was so thankful he got Daniel out of the lion's den, took the guys that tricked him, threw them in the lion's den, and then he threw a party. And he wrote a letter to all of Babylon saying, praise the one true God, because what the one true God has done through Daniel. It says in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. I don't know what's going on in your life right now. I don't. I know what's going on in my life right now. There's a lot of us going through change. I don't know if you guys have seen my son. When we moved here about a year ago. My son, when we moved here, he's giving me that death look like, why is he talking about me? When we moved here, my son was this tall. Have you seen him? He's almost as tall as I am now. I've told him to stop growing. He's not listening. He never listens. My daughter is 15. She's going to start driving soon. I am not that old. I don't know what change is going on in your life. You know, we all need help. Different things happen to us at different times, and we need help. There's stuff that goes on all the time that terrifies me. We're all afraid. There are times where I feel like I live in a world that I really don't want to be in anymore. I get kind of lonely here on earth. When I read the news, I don't like reading the news. Actually, every time I go to the gym with my wife and I'm looking up at the TV screens, I have to look at her and say, tell me to stop looking at the news. It just makes me lonely. I don't know what it is in your life. Are you in change? Do you need help? Are you afraid? Are you lonely? I don't know where you are, but I do know that no matter where you are in those situations, that God is with you. And I do know that when you're thankful, God is with you. This week at VBS, you guys might have noticed that as you came in, right on the outsides of the doors, those little blue walls. Those are called God sightings walls. Every day at VBS, we're going to ask the kids, how have you seen God in action this week or today? How have you seen God in action today? And they get a chance to say what they've seen. Whether it was at VBS or at home, we don't know. Just let's look for how we can see God. Today, I'm going to give you the opportunity. I'm going to challenge you. Some of you are like, no, I like my seat and I'm staying in my seat. Please don't. I'm going to ask you to do something. We're going to sing a couple of songs. And we have these two tables up here. They've got pieces of paper with pens and tape. We got these little pieces of paper that say, today I saw God at work in, and there's a blank. Your job is to take one of these pieces of paper and fill in the blank. Today I have seen God at work in, whatever it is. I don't know what it is. Some of you, it's going to be really easy. Today, I have seen God at work in the fact that I graduated from high school yesterday. I got a chance yesterday. I was talking to somebody at graduation, and he told me how God had been blessing him, and that he looked back on his life, and he looked back at his kids, and he realized he was thankful that his kids had a better life than he did, that his kids had a better start than he did. That's something to be thankful for. It's real easy. Some of us, it's going to be real easy. Today I saw God at work in, and we can fill the whole thing out. Some of us, it's going to be pretty difficult. Some of us, it's, I'm in the middle of this, and I can't see God. I'm in the middle of whatever it is, and I'm having trouble seeing God in this. I tell you, God is still here with you. It's in those times when we have trouble seeing God that we have to look all that much more closely to see where God is. Because we know that if things are changing, if we need help, if we're afraid, if we're lonely, and if we're thankful, we know that God is with us. So the band is going to come up right now, and we're going to sing. And when we start, as soon as I say amen, amen is your cue to come up here and to grab one of these and write, "Today I have seen God in," take some tape and put it up there on the wall. Because we want to share with each other the ways that we have seen God working in our lives. So let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much that it doesn't matter what's going on in our lives, that you are here, that you are with us, that things change, you're with us. When we need help, you're with us. When we're afraid, you're with us. And when we're lonely, you're with us. We just pray that you be with us right now as we take the time to be thankful, that you will remind us that you are with us and that you show us the ways that you are with us. Help us right now. Give us this opportunity to be thankful for the way that you have worked in our lives. Because you are an absolutely amazing God. And we thank you for that. And it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.